12 minutes past 12, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Murray and Darren.
And thank you to our listeners for joining us today in the studio. You can join us live on the Facebook Business Insights with Murray and Darren. As well, you can come in and ask the questions. So, guests, Darren, they can go on website.
On the text line 0480-028-100.
And you can enjoy this conversation. But before we continue, we have today's guest. And Darren and I, we have a truly privilege to bring you not the guests with the glamour name and the glitter of the Hollywood and the stars behind them, the red carpet, but the people who truly working very hard entire life, and they are, you know, quite achievers, but they're achieving quite a lot, and they are true unsung business heroes today. It's nothing different. We have somebody with I will call them with a Middle East spicing in, I mean, with him because of the background, but I'll let our guests to be introducing themselves a little bit later. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today in the studio Dr. Joe Isaac. Joe Isaac is the National Training and Assessment Lead at the Australian Industry Group, admired YouTuber, so you can check him on YouTube as well, global presenter at several international institutes, moreover, the founder and the president of the FIEPC and Australian Public Speaking Academy. Mr. Isaac spent last 13 years working as a part-time university lecturer in Australia, a guest speaker for universities and international conferences in Australia, Asia, and since 2005 he has been a lead presenter and a master trainer delivering accelerated transformation training in diverse range of strategic businesses. Joe, welcome to studio.
Thank you so
much. I tried
to
say this in one breath, but it doesn't work. Very impressive, very impressive resume you have.
Thank you so much.
So for our listeners, do you mind just to share with our listeners, who is Joe Isaac?
It's a very good question, and I think, who am I? I am a transformed person.
A transformer?
Transformed person. Before, this is something that might be of a surprise for a lot of people, that they might be surprised to see how much of a transformational change I have actually gone through. And I was not confident. I was not the person you see today. In fact, I didn't even have friends. To transform from that to the person I am now, I get invited to seminars, I run my own events, and I have thousands of people in front of me on stage at ease. I was talking earlier, just before we go on air, and I was telling Mario that I always look back at that old self. And I look at this, I can always remember the gratitude and how much I have changed. This is probably the introduction I would like to say. Coming from a family of academics, we all studied, we just love to study, we just love learning, I suppose.
Darren, I'm not sure did you know, but our guest in the studio is come from the country of the pyramids, right? And yeah, he was a tomb raider before.
I was going to ask him, Joe, have you always had such a lovely radio voice?
Sorry, what did you say?
A lovely radio voice. And Murray, Darren, I'm putting it to you. He's putting you on the ropes as far as the sexiest voice on radio.
I don't think I'll step over. I'll just stay over here. But I think I like to express myself, and I really love talking to people and sharing my stories and my mission and my vision and what I live for every single day that I wake up to is one thing. How can I help someone not to experience the dilemma I have experienced in the past?
Why you want to help somebody? What was the drive? Because, you know, I must say, I'm witnessing every day a lot of people would say to me, I love to help people, I love to help the group, I love to help the children. But it's a more sinister than I can contemplate. You know, most of this I want to help, I will help, and I'm helping actually brings some other type of rewards they're looking for. But why Dr. Joe Isaac wants to help other people?
It's a very good question. And I think, as they say, you don't take an advice from a general that wasn't in war, about a war. I was there. I endured the pain. I know how it hurts. Mm. And because I know this, if you are a simple human being, you wouldn't want someone to intentionally suffer if you have the cure. If we say that, for instance, if somebody somewhere in the world has got the vaccine at the moment, why would you, if it's vaccine, if it's working, it has no side effects, I don't want to get into political debates, but let's say that there is a cure for COVID-19 somewhere. If you have that cure, why would you keep it and not share it with others?
Money.
Get these people to run.
COVID aside, you're talking about pain, What was that pain for you, if you would like to share, if you
Absolutely.
Can share?
The story started when, I guess, all my life, when I was young, all the way to my teenage years, I couldn't speak to people. I didn't have friends. And at the tipping point, this is the part where I'm going to share now with you. It was the last day in high school, and mind you, I was a nerd, I was a geek, I was always good at school, and somehow I was the favorite student for all the teachers, or the teacher's pet, as they say it. And I fell in love with this girl at school, and I was absolutely crazy about her. And I couldn't say anything to her. It was the last day at high school, and I said, come on. The night before, I couldn't sleep because I said, I'm going to wish her the best. That was the wildest part of my dreams, to actually wish her the best. I can go and tell her, I love you. No. This is not even on the list. It's not possible. So I decided, okay, I got to gather my strength, and I got to go up to her and I tell her, hey, I wish you all the best for the future. That was the wildest part of my dreams. I went to school, and around 10 o'clock or 10:30, roughly, I absolutely went and I walked to her, and she was there. And she just looked at me and gave me that warming smile. And I went up to her, and I was walking, and I was chewing a gum. I want you to hold on to that. There's a reason for that. It's okay. Coming. Chewing, walking up to her. As I arrived, she kind of slowed down her pace. She kind of knew I am coming to talk to her. And I stood and I looked at her, and I absolutely frazzled. And excuse me, the chewing gum fell off my mouth and I dribbled. This was a breaking moment for me. Can because I could point? Not believe that I couldn't say a simple sentence. She was very, very, very nice, very kind. She walked and tried to maintain her smile, struggling to maintain it, just trying to give me a way of a buffer so I don't lose face really in front of her. And then she just kept walking. That was the only day I left school early like a naughty kid.
On your last day of school.
That is exactly right.
Wow.
And I was going home, and I was so angry and so upset. I've had everything. I've had my dad was a doctor, surgeon, very rich family. My mom was in the ministry of the media. She was going to be the next minister if she stayed. And all that going along, family's good, house is good, money's great, but I don't have friends, and I don't have the person that I want to be. And I stumbled across a bookstore. They had a book outside, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you will know, once I start the first four words of that book, you will know instantly which book I'm talking about.
Once Upon a Time.
No.
Hansel and Gretel.
How to Make Friends and Influence People. Wow. I can see Darren here moving his lips, right? For Dale Carnegie, the one person I consider to be the father of personal development, at least for me. This is how I started. I read this book. I lost consciousness of time, and I started reading this book as I was standing on the street.
So this is when you're young, just after this incident?
Absolutely. The same day, straight away.
Same day, wow.
Same day. And I started reading the book.
But hang on. Why didn't you go away and cry and have a whinge and all that? What drove you to actually find the book? Is that having chance?
Chance.
Yeah, shortly he wanted to say, why didn't you be like Mario? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was exactly, I was just walking down, and in that bookstore, I didn't go to the bookstore. It was outside. It was on the curb. The books were displayed outside. And I just captured my attention, that name. And I thought to myself, this is all I need. And that's how I looked at that book and I started reading.
Well, I think we deserved after this confession. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest in the studio, Dr. Joe Isaac, with insights we don't expect to hear it. Darren and I, we have the open eyes and ears. So stay with us. We take a short break. Darren's going to guide us. And you're listening online, 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And Darren,
California
take us to the
Dreaming
break.
Dreaming by Dinah Crowell. 27 minutes past 12, live 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And the Business Insights with Darren and Mario, we have the privilege to have a unique guest in our studio. We don't talk every day to psychologists and experts on human behavior. This our guest Darren, he's you know, that opening story was just so moving.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that most of people can relate to that story, but most of us will not have the guts to admit these things. But you know, we have the, as I said, like our guest today to, you know, talk to behalf of all of us. So Joe, we talk about relationships here, and you're the expert. You're the expert with the credibility, authority in human psychology, human behavior. Apologies. Why do people fall in love in the first instance? Why do people looking for somebody to be in a relationship?
Why do we look for that? Interestingly enough, we have to, because it is a psychological need. If we look at, probably a lot of people are aware of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And as social mammals, we like to connect with someone. Why is isolation that we have faced in the current circumstances was difficult and challenging for a lot of people? We have water, we have food, we have everything, but it's just because we're restricted from our social interactions. So loneliness and not being in a relationship is essentially tackling and challenging this part. That's why we want to be in relationships. We want to connect with people, irrelevant of giving it names, whether it's a fiance or wife or partner, you know, I don't care about the names, but we need to connect with someone. When we love someone, we have a purpose. Sometimes we are lazy. We don't want to do things, but when we have someone, we feel the need and the support and the energy and absolutely the motivation to do something. So think of it, if you might be lazy to cook, but then if you have someone that you really care about, that will encourage you to actually cook for them. If it was just for yourself and you're by yourself, you may not cook, you may buy something. It's because you feel that. So this is the why we need that. And once we connect, we can have that feeling that we feel we mean something.
Okay.
And I always say that.
I do have, you know, we live in a very fast moving world. No question asked.
Yep.
And there is a lot of these so-called experts we can see on TV, we can see on the YouTube. You know, what my biggest fear is, and Darren and I, we quite often discussing that topic, people without credibility, authority, at least, you know, me have the, you know, PhD or, you know, bachelor in psychology, whatever you want to call this. But, you know, I'm glad we have it today in the studio. Now, please correct me something. Not long time ago.
Right.
I have an expression, and I was being told by that this person, you know, that person is not alive anymore, but he described me the love and the relationship in three steps.
Right.
Attraction.
Yes.
Seduction.
Yes.
And destruction.
Yes.
Would you agree with that one? I mean, we don't talk about 50 Shades of Grey, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, I was told by this person when I was, you know, I'll just give you just a brief one. Anyway, I was wounded in my head. You know, I was coming home, my home city. I called my girlfriend and I tried to surprise her, you know what I mean? So long story short, I come in front of her building. It was a wedding, you know what I mean? Proceedings. Yeah, she was married.
It was her wedding?
Yeah, it was her wedding, you know what I mean? And I was like, you know, missing the half of my skull, you know what I mean? Literally in the back of my head. Anyway, long story short, and you know, then I was, you know, obviously, you know, opted for the much more alcohol, you know what I mean? And other substances. It was a war. And then that person told me, Mario, this is what a love it is all about. Attraction, seduction, destruction. And then I said, but many people stay in a relationship or married or whatever it is. He said it's called a compromise, whatever it is, right? So what do you think about this? Attraction, seduction, destruction. Is it love, relationship? We talk about love. We talk about love. We don't talk about business relationship, you know what I mean?
Right.
I love Darren. I mean, I'll destroy him. I'll destroy Darren with my thoughts. Like that way that if he does say one more time, you have a better voice than I do. So please.
It is kind of challenging to look at the model without context. If we are trying to attract someone, there is a particular paradigm where you go into steps. And when you go through those steps, attraction will happen simultaneously. whether attraction comes first or seduction, or they have to seduce to attract or attract to seduce, I guess it's irrelevant. At the end of the day, in terms of distraction, so are you going to be distracted, or are you going to distract them to take an exit? So it does require a bit of context. It all depends how you want to call this, or what's the target? Am I trying to be in a relationship, or am I trying to be to spend some valuable time?
So for humans, so I'm thinking birds, they just go and seduce. They don't basically give it a damn and they just do it. But for humans, why would someone, and even yourself and your story, and I know I'm similar when I was young, you go, well, no, I'm not going to flap my wings because I'm scared, I've got fear, or something's happening. Why are humans different than, say, birds?
We care so much about our self-image.
Birds don't?
Sorry, what did you say? We care about
what? We care so much about our self-image.
What is a self-image? Is that what I try to look good every day, or, I don't know, dress myself better or express myself? What it is, self-image is more how the other perceive me, or how I want to be perceived.
How you see yourself deep inside.
That's not your business, Joe. You know, I won't tell you what it is. Not either you, Darren. No, jokes aside.
Maybe it is.
So the idea here, I suppose, is why, as Darren asked the question, why? The why is how do we think about ourselves defines how we react. We were a very special type that we were born to survive. And because we were born to survive, we have something called, just a metaphor, called reptilian brain. We see things magnified because our target is to survive. Now, every other human being has got this, but not necessarily the animal to that degree. Yes, everybody is inclined to survive. That's right. But human beings, we were selected for this world to survive. And because of that, we tend to respond to anything that challenges that survival mode very, very strongly compared to positivity. And I always say, remember that it takes 5 positives to outweigh 1 negative. Imagine a negative thought coming to you. You need to push it away with 5 positive thoughts.
And so, Joe, maybe you've got some younger listeners thinking and hearing this story and your story and things like that, saying, well, I've always got a negative. I don't have 5 positive relationships to draw back on for this 1 negative. How do you get beyond that?
This comes back to confidence, to build your confidence. And there are so many positive things, but we don't see it because we take it for granted. I don't know if I'm okay to share that story. It's very intense, very intense from my experience when I was injured serving my country. But I don't want to go in details because it's very traumatic. I'll just give you highlights that I was in coma for 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
And I woke up and I've had severe injuries, one of which is hangman fracture, which they told me I'm not going to be able to walk again. Okay. Wow. So it is very, very extreme, but I don't want to go in details just so I don't turn someone's tummy that they are listening, because it's very extreme. But at the end of the day, this accident taught me something very simple. I have asked this on my lives on YouTube, Facebook. Nobody could answer that question. And I bet all our listeners that people are engaging with me now, if they can guess, what is the simplest thing that you can be grateful for? Nobody will give me this answer. I'm challenging the world and I'm very confident because it's so simple that the people don't guess it.
Could I ask one question?
Please.
You asked the question to our audience.
Yes.
If they want to give you answer in their opinion, how they can contact or send you opinion?
They can just look up my name.
Which is Joe Isaac.
Dr. Joe Isaac. DrJoeIsaac. And they will find me on all social media. I'm everywhere.
I want to ask you a question. So we can come after the break, you can think. I want to talk about suffering.
Yes.
Why you're suffering. Marcel Proust, he wrote a very good quote. We are healed over suffering only by experiencing it to the full. So when we come back after the break, Darren and myself, we're going to guide you to the next chapter of this conversation with our guest, Dr. Joe Isaac. What do you think, Darren? It was a good one, yeah?
It's deep. It's deep.
It's very deep. It's very emotional.
We're digging very deep.
Yeah.
And just so we do keep a bit of happiness. This is Weezer. We're that's happy together. Yeah, we're live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And we come back after the break.
It's 90 minutes to one, live at 90.5, Business Insights with Murray and Darren.
And thank you to all our listeners in Sydney, Australia, particularly those two overseas, for staying with us first hour. Well, we have still time to first hour at 12:40. But, you know, I would like to say thank you to all sponsors of Alive 90.5. I thank you to everybody who is listening to this great show. Without you, dear listeners, Business Insights with Murray and Darren will not exist. And our privilege it is to have the truly unique guest in the studio, Dr. Joe Isaac. He's a world star, but he doesn't advertise in this. And you should visit his YouTube channel. And I'll let Darren to spell this at the end because it's on English, so it's not my forte. But I know Joe for some time now. So Joe, we spoke about relationships, and we spoke, you know, with the need of the being with somebody, not just in love relationship. What do you think what the COVID-19 brought to the world? Particularly in the area where we live, Sydney, Australia, what do you see, what COVID done to human behavior overall?
Wow.
I mean, can you share this with us on a professional level, please?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And by the way, before you continue, thank you for all these volumes, pills to give me and Darren, you know what I mean? So.
Look, it's my pleasure to be here, and it's my pleasure to support every single person out there that might need to hear this or pass it on to someone. But I find this interesting because we haven't really discussed this at all, Mario, but I have made several videos about this topic in particular, and I was very, very surprised how you managed to come up with that question. COVID-19, in a way, I want to be very careful with what I say so people don't misunderstand me, but I'm just saying the current circumstances handling the pandemic has put us into isolation for obvious reasons we all know about. But it somehow did reset our social skills back.
Yeah, social skills, that's what I'm interested in, yes.
The people that started to work on themselves and they started to get more comfortable, now they haven't been talking to someone. So it's kind of reset again. I got to learn again. You know, when I was in the hospital in that traumatic event that I didn't want to share the details of, I had to learn to walk again because I was on bed rest for 9 months. And then I had to learn how to run. It's kind of reset. So this is exactly what has happened, that we're not communicating. We're not talking to other people. And then suddenly, obviously, relationships, dating scene, etc. It is very, very, very challenging to find someone. How are you going to find someone in such circumstances? I'm going to run this as a social experiment on my YouTube. We're going to get my team, go out on the streets, and I'll try to talk to people, random people, strange people, and see how they respond. I see that it's sometimes when I see people on the street and I just say, ah, hello, how are you? They tend to physically go back a little bit. People now have the social distancing and all that stuff engraved so deeply in their mind that before we had the stranger danger thing, right now we have the stranger danger and possibly COVID.
And masks. So no one can see your mouth. No one can see you smile.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do smile with my eyes. So that's I have a lot of wrinkles here.
I know before COVID, I'd always smile to people on the street. I still do, but sometimes you can't see it from the mask. And it's amazing how many people you can just see you've brightened their day just because you smiled at them.
We're missing that. We're missing that part.
We are missing
that. You know, like that human. But again, New South Wales, we're truly blessed. You know what I mean? Like we still can do things, you know, I mean, look each other in the face, you know, I mean, okay, mask is not compulsory, but I do agree with you, which reminds me, I'm not sure that I ever heard of the Stanford University experiment. Is it familiar to you?
Which one?
Prison. So what they did, you know, the professor, he take the students and said, like, you know, who's gonna be the inmate, who's gonna be the prison guard? And they done in the university, Stanford University, they done, you know, in the confined space, and they replicated like a prison system, right? They need to shut down the system, the experiment, 6 days into experiment for the one simple reason, because the guards become the sadistic and the inmates is becoming more afraid of the even getting out of the cell, right? And now, you know, this is what, you know, I try to ask you, like, because, you know, the start of the COVID, you know, I mean, everybody was running like a crazy. I saw myself, everybody was preparing for the Olympics.
You know, so we're like, all getting conditioned, getting conditioned to quit COVID. Now,
well, yeah, like, looks like, you know what I mean, like, you know, but that's like, we are lucky in New South Wales, we can express ourselves, you know what I mean? I don't want to mention other states, but that's how it looks like. But now, you know what I mean, let's go transfer this on a relationships, you know what I mean, in marriages or relationships, you know, not just the COVID. Why do people lie in the relationships? This is my question. I'm dying to ask you from beginning, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, there's some videos of yours, you know, where you're explaining on YouTube, you know, how to spot a liar. But I said, in relationships, why some of the partners start not cheating but lying to other person? Is because somebody eats more in relationships, somebody buys more stuff?
It's kind of difficult to pinpoint exactly the reason. There are several reasons. I think, from a person that has worked with a lot of people to help them with that, my biggest fear, whether it's pathological lying or not. Pathological lying is, or mythomania, pseudologica, fantastica. That's the boring terminology. But what it really means, it's compulsive lying. It's very, very difficult to detect because those people don't have a motive to lie. They just lie for no motive. And that's why normally to diagnose something like this, we have to run very comparative analysis with very close circles behind the subject to identify that. When people lie, like, okay, I'm lying now, why? Because I don't want to lose face, or I'm lying now because I don't want to hurt someone's feeling. That's easy to pinpoint because there is a reason for it. But the pathological lying, they just lie for no reason, so you can't identify the motive. Just like the crime components, you can't charge someone with a crime without the mental and the physical component, the mens rea. And that's the thing. If people have that pathological lying, that's a very big problem. It's very hard to diagnose. Why they lie, I would say, commonly, to answer that question simply, they could be pathological liars, which I always pray that that's not the case, because it's very difficult to pinpoint. It requires a lot of research. Yes, and I would say people do lie. I mean, I lied sometimes. You know, one of those white lies.
No, you're just defining yourself with white lies, aren't you? You know something about white lies?
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm having one right now. Maybe I know all about it.
Well, that's what it is. So, like, you know, because in a relationship, obviously, you know, everyone, you know, everybody has ups and downs. We discussed this so many times. And you, as an expert, you're helping the people to, you know, become the better themselves, right? Obviously, you know, I know that you don't tell nobody to go lie. Actually, it's quite the opposite. Don't lie. But what are you saying to the business people who has a tendency to promise a lot and deliver in the business?
Look, before I tell them that, I just want to make sure that the white lies is defined.
Okay, because define again.
Yeah, so the white lie, like I said, I lie at times. You know, your partner will come to you and say, "Hey, have you got a minute for me?" The answer normally is yes. Do I really have a minute? I'm super busy at the moment. And no, I don't have a minute, but then we will lie because we don't want to upset them. So just to put the question fully to answer is they lie, pathological lying, or because they don't want to hurt someone's feeling. They want to show their love more and they might take those kind of white lies. I'm not talking about other deep lies where they actually do something exceptionally wrong and then they try to hide it. This is completely different thing, but it's probably because they're trying to protect themselves or not disclose.
Are you telling me that we have the multiple personalities as a normal? As a bit by default, like when we're born. What do you think? That's a whole other topic,
I think.
I know, but it was
like, multiple personality disorder.
No. But you know what I mean? Like if you ask me. Say, and not like, Darren, you had only one personality, being the most kind of person. But you know when Joe says, you know what I mean? Somebody asks you, do you have a time? You say like, yes, but actually no. Like, is this like a split personality? Or is this like, is it just a wiring in the brain? It's like, okay, I'm going to help this person instead of avoiding the clash.
Yes, I can't say that it's split personality because you got to be careful with what I say as terminology. But
that's the reason why you're expert. I'm just a Mario.
It's totally fine. But if I say split personality, there are certain personality disorders, PDP, etc. Like, I don't want to go in that track because people can misunderstand me. But what it is we just try to express our love. You know, like I remember my affection. Ex, she will come to me and I am super busy and she'll ask me to help her with an email or do this or check this for me. And I'm really super busy, but I always say yes and I always drop things for her. And this is just, it is a lie. I don't have time.
Well, that's love.
You know, but that's how we express it because we don't want to upset them, right? So for those business people, as I go back to your question,
yeah,
those business people that are over-promising people and they're not delivering. I was involved in, I think they've interviewed me on some journal. I don't remember the name. We're talking about business ghosting, which is very relevant.
Business ghosting? That's a new one.
What is business ghosting?
It's kind of what Mario is saying, but it's just that they, Mario said that they overpromise, right? So they don't actually deliver whatever it is. The business ghosting is when they're not getting back to the people at all. They're just disappearing. So you're sending them an email, no response. You call them, no answer. They're just ghosting. They're just disappearing. They're not able to face you. They're not able to talk and express. They're not talking to their staff members or team members telling them that, you know, look, we might have to let some people go. When it happens or the decision is made, they just come and say, look, right away, fire, finish, or terminate, or whatever the case. So business ghosting and the question that Mario is just raising, they kind of related. Business ghosting, there is no communication whatsoever. Just simple. They just can't. But in your case, over-promising, I always suggest, and I trained a lot of people from Qantas and Virgin that trick.
Ah, okay.
Always under-promise so you can over-deliver. So if I...
How are we going to get the business if I under-promise? As I said, don't expect for me to bring... I don't know, two donuts, I bring the one donut in. I mean, isn't that straight away impact on his opinion about my delivering?
Not exactly like this, but let's put it into a context, okay? So let's say Darren is asking you to get two sponsors.
Okay.
You need to haggle with him. Say, look, it's very difficult times now. I don't think I can get any sponsors whatsoever. Zero. I'll try my best, but I can't promise you. So what's happening now to Darren's expectations? He's going... And then you come back with one sponsor.
Oh.
Then Darren goes, Darren is not really expecting anything because you just told him, obviously I'm playing numbers game. If he told you 10, tell him, look, it's very difficult, probably 3 at the most. And then you come back with 5. So I always say, use the reference of what you know and you're certain you're going to achieve and go one under.
Look, I play this with my scale every day on my gym, right? With my coach. And I said to him, I said, my dad, today I believe I lost 5 kilos. He says to me, he said, Mario, lost 500 grams. It's like, you see, I told you it starts with the 5. You listen in Business Insights with Mario and Darren on Live 90.5. Our guest is Dr. Joe Isaac. Stay with us. And we're going to stop.
Just a quick break and we'll be back very soon.
Break, yes, yeah.
And the song will be Shinner Easton for Your Eyes Only. Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
90.5.
It's 2 minutes to one. Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
And to all listeners, please stay with us. You know, I'm asking you to stay in the second hour with us because Dr. Joe Isaac is going to share studio with us. And as well, we have the guest from the Taiwan directly on live. Thanks to Daniel Capps Davis, magician on technology. Daniel Tosos, who is prepared to give, and he will give $1,000 worth of the prizes. But Joe, before we leave the first hour and go to news and the weather, for all listeners, do you mind to share with us, how people can reach you? Somebody want to talk to you, somebody want to watch your videos, want to blurb about everything, you want to share some money, whatever it is,
I'm easily contactable on social media. If they are on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, we always get back to people that make comments on my videos, even if just a comment, can you please, send us an email or whatever the case. So YouTube has got all the handles. Also searching my name, they can just send me a DM. That's an easy...
Do you mind, instead of me saying your full name, surname, and misspell it something, do you mind to share with our listeners your full name, surname? So can I Google and go Dr. Google, search for...
Dr. Dr. J-O-E, Joe Isaac, with a weird spelling, I-S-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A- Okay.
Just before we go on a break, tell me something. Is Egypt has a good sweets? You know, I mean, like asking for Darren. I mean, that Darren is like
asking for a friend, right?
Asking for a friend, yeah. So, how's the sweets in Egypt?
The sweets are amazing,
yeah.
And you will put on weight before you even know it. Just thinking about them.
Just think about. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Line 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. We take a break now. We go to the news and the weather. We'll be back in shortly in 5 to 6 minutes. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. You'll be glad you did it.